the match you've been waiting for, Zells. Stormers against the Lions. Will you have a job on Monday?
Mate, it's a thriller. Very much looking forward to it. South African derbies. It doesn't get better than that. Yeah. Sharks at Bulls, Stormers at Lions. We're back in business. And you just know it's going to be physical. It's going to be confrontational. And it's going to be thrilling, mate. I think we're going to see some great tries. Matches at the Highveld, always high octane. So looking forward to it.
Okay, now we're very blessed because you are the numbers cruncher, the data specialist at the Stormers. It means that you have had to take five Lions matches in terms of derbies, two against the Bulls, two against the Sharks, and the one against the Stormers. And over the last few months, more than anyone else, you've done what they call the deep dive. What do the Stormers need to do to win a game? And what must the Lions do not lose?
We discussed it at length. I think, yeah, obviously, I've mentioned the Lions are a tricky team to play, a very unique style of play, very dangerous team on attack, have a long kicking game. And I think they're a team on the ascent, they're a team on the up. And they've got, like I say, a very unique way of playing. So it's a unique challenge. And then when you throw in the high fault factor, and I think for both of the coastal teams that are traveling this week, the difficulty is going to be that the Lions played last week. The Sharks played last week. The Bulls haven't played since the end of Jan. The Stormers haven't played since the end of Jan. The Bulls played a scrimmage in Wellington against Boerland, but not quite the same thing as sort of ammo. So it's going to be about sort of shaking off that sort of sleep from your eyes and getting going from the first whistle for both of those teams. And you think that the Lions and the Sharks maybe have a slight edge there just because they, you know, they've been in action more recently. So that'll be a factor. The high fault will be a factor. But derbies are obviously great equalizers, mate. And, you know, for people who say, well, maybe the Stormers and maybe the Bulls should have been more serious about playing games during this break period. The one downside of obviously having played more recently for the Lions is they've lost Ruan Fenter to a concussion. That's a big blow for them. He's one of their key ball carriers, obviously very, very physical in contact and really at the vanguard of their sort of brute force efforts. So that's a big loss for the Lions. But like I said, they played a game last week and they'll be ready for battle. So it'll be good.
So I've heard three excuses out of the Stormers camp already via their spokesperson, Zelim Nell. One, you guys haven't played. Two, there's altitude. And three, the Lions are on a roll. Anything
no
else?
No excuses, mate. No excuses whatsoever, mate. No excuses at all. The Stormers have got a great record against the Lions in history, mate, whether it's at the Highveld or in Cape Town. And that's a record that they'll want to extend. And obviously for the Lions, that's the huge motivator, is to turn that trend around and start getting the wins against the Stormers. The Lions got that famous win against the Stormers in Cape Town to snap that winning record way back in the day. And I suppose in some respects, they very much are a bogey team for the Stormers. So there's lots of history and there's lots to play for.
Okay, I'm going to just touch on that bogey team, because when people talk about New Zealand and France, and I'm not talking about this last 4 or 5 years where France has had a great team and New Zealand's been vulnerable. But up until that point, I think France had won 12 out of 59, 12 out of 60 tests against New Zealand. So people remember the ones they won, not the 40, 48 that they either drew or they lost. So yeah. In URC history, I think there's been two wins to the Lions, okay, against the Stormers. One was in the first season when they beat them in Cape Town brilliantly, and then last season when they won at Ellis Park. So would you not say that the Stormers are the Lions' bogey team?
Yeah, no, look, I think you make a good point there, Uli. What I'm trying to say is that France can ambush New Zealand. They, in the history of that rivalry, there's those surprise wins, right? So the one team is the favorite, the other team is the underdogs. New Zealand are the favorite, France are the underdogs. But France have got some famous victories against New Zealand. 1999 springs to mind. And there are some teams that can do that and others that can't. And I think the Lions are a team that can that can pull the Stormers jersey over their head and punch them in the guts. They've got that ability to kind of spring a surprise. There's something about them that that is tricky for the Stormers at times. So that's something we'll obviously be working to avoid this weekend. But yeah, your point is taken, mate.
Okay, but again, we spoke about this in fairly much detail on Monday, is everyone seems to speak about the Lions as if they shouldn't be there. And then, wow, can you believe we struggled? Or wow, can you believe they actually won? Does that not do them a disservice when you look at the unison that they've had? They don't have many Springboks, okay? So they've got Morne van der Berg's probably been the most regular away from the camp. There's been a
Yeah.
spring of guys who've been in and out of the Springbok camp under Rossie, but take Morne van der Berg out of the equation, Krappies. That squad has been together for the best part of 3 years, maybe even four. So they are well gelled, well connected, and they do have an advantage over sides that are losing 14, 15 players to Springbok camps, 10 plus players. They're a good side.
Mate, they're a very good side, but they are underdogs. You know, like if you had to ask most people, build your ultimate URC 15 from the South African franchises, there'd be some Lions in there, but I don't think they'd be the biggest contingent. And that's, you always thought, whenever I say I support the Lions, I like the Lions, I think they're a great team historically, you've said, oh, you always support the underdogs. They are the underdogs, they're the underdogs for a reason, but they are massive overachievers. So I think they get a lot out of what they're working with. And they're a dangerous, dangerous side. And when you throw in Ellis Park into the mix, and you combine some smart ideas around how they play, and then the emergence of players like Asinati and Ntlabakanye, Kuan Horn, really sort of stepping up and growing into that role that he plays for them at fullback. Chris Smith, maybe not the flashiest fly half, but very intelligent, knows how to control the game. Obviously, I mentioned Krappie. Ashin Peed's in the mix there now. Bartek Kekani's going to add some firepower to that pack. They've got pieces, mate. You know, Frankie Horn, massive leadership role, huge in the lineup for them. Weapon X at 13, Henko van Wyk, the emergence of Bronson Mills. They've got lots of pieces. They've just got to put it together. But again, it's a bit, it's a, yeah, they're not seen as a sort of big region team, you know, that they kind of always seem to be trailing the likes of the Bulls and the Stormers and the Sharks historically, and I think that's something that they're looking to flip. They're looking to flip the narrative on that, and a victory against the Stormers would go a long way into doing that. So that's what makes them dangerous, is they come from a place of wanting to exceed expectations, not trying to live up to expectations.
Okay, so I'm not going to ask you for any state secret because there aren't any state secrets. Anyone who's
No, mate.
watched the Lions play the Stormers or they've watched URC rugby for the last 4 seasons. Now, pre you joining the Stormers and post you joining the Stormers, you've always been consistent about one thing. Don't let the Lions ambush you because they want you to play a certain way. Does that still ring true from what you've seen this season of the Lions? And if you look at the contrasting results and the contrasting performances. The Lions got shipping 52 points at home against the Bulls side under serious pressure, and then coming out and really giving it to a good, if not the best, in terms of experienced players, Sharks team last week. So there is a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde about this Lions team, but does it still ring true of what shouldn't you be doing against the Lions and what should you be doing as a team, whether it's the Stormers or any other team you're involved in?
Yeah, look, I think there's not so much a should or shouldn't. I think you've got to play to your personnel, play to your strengths, play away from your weaknesses. I think the Lions like it when you engage them in a shootout because they are most comfortable in that. And I think they've built a team that is very competent in that kind of a game. So if you take them on in that regard, you've got to be very efficient. Because they are masters of playing on some of the opportunities that are created in a high tempo, expansive game. But having said that, they can mix it in the trenches if you decide to go route one and be physical with them. They've got some guys that can do that too. And when the game breaks up and there's unstructured moments, then they get wide and they get fast real quick. So, and that's when they're at their most dangerous. So you just got to be careful with the lines because the way that they play will give you lots of opportunities to get loose and fast and wide. And if you kind of get sucked into that game, they are the masters of that game. So you've just got to be careful around the balance of how you go into that, and you've got to just keep your head on a swivel and be ready for that ambush.
If you look, 3 from 5 for the Lions and the Derbies, 3 from 5 for the Sharks, 2 from 4 for the Stormers, 1 from 4 for the Bulls. As we said earlier in the week, it could still all come down, depending on results this weekend, to the Stormers, 14th of March, traveling to Pretoria against the Bulls. North v South could decide the Shield, but the Shield could be decided also this weekend if one of the Sharks or the Lions kind of win this game. So it's really like Currie Cup playoffs in the guise of the URC, strength v strength. And then also that little bit of added impetus, Rassie Erasmus naming a 49-strong alignment squad that's going to be in Cape Town, 3rd to the 6th of March. That's next week. And interestingly, loaded with Stormers forwards, very few backs. Sash is there, Damian Willems is there. We knew they'd be there. Cobus Ryan is there. And who's the fourth one?
You've got Evan Roos, you've
No,
got Paul de Villiers.
not in the backs.
Oh, the back, sorry. Sasha, Marcus Miller's in the mix. Cobus
Marcus Miller.
Ryan, too.
Actually, I just wanted you to
Yeah.
notice that. Marcus Miller. I deliberately left him out. He's
All right.
trained a
You
couple
good,
of times.
you.
He trained a couple of times with the Stormers because I want to get to him. We know that Sash would be there, Damien would be there, and Quibbs would be there. Two veterans as such, and one the best player in the world on the international stage last season for the Springboks, Sasha Feinberg and Ngoma Zulu. Marcus Miller, Paul Gymnasium, superstar, straight from the under-18s, contracted to the Stormers, into the under-20s, played against Georgia with Ethan Adams next to him. They were 35-0 up at halftime, changed the whole team. It's a practice game. Comes back. What a whirlwind. Into the Stormers, S under-20s, and with Riley Norton into the Springbok alignment camp. 18 years old. I love that selection. Because it doesn't mean he's going to play for the Springboks this year. But what it's saying is that the national coach actually feels the hype is justified. What
Totally.
does that say to the other Stormers players around him, though, that aren't there?
Yeah, I don't really know. I haven't really put much thought into that. I think I mean, it'll obviously be motivation. You can't invite everybody to these camps. And a lot of these camps, especially for the youngsters, I think there's value in it because it gives them exposure to something that they have never obviously been exposed to. Obviously, I think everybody would love to be involved. But like you say, getting a call up to this bar camp isn't an indication you're going to play for them in the next 5 minutes. It's just it's like a, hey, welcome, let's shake hands and have a beer and have a chat. So I don't think anybody that's in this group is in this group in cast iron. I don't think anybody that's out is out in cast iron, but it is an indicator of what who and what Rusty's looking at. Great to see Francois Habber back in the mix. And then for Marcus Miller, I think it's a great opportunity for him, you know, and I think he's a guy who's obviously on a pathway to greatness. But you've got to pay your school fees, you know. You've got to play at each of the levels, and you've got to perform at each of the levels, because you don't really know whether you are sort of an all-time rodeo rider until you jump on the biggest bull. So you've got to kind of work your way and get there. Once you can stay on there for 8 seconds on the biggest bull, then you know you've arrived,
So who is that biggest bull?
mate. I'll leave it up to your imagination.
Marcus Miller, I've seen him play at schoolboy level. He has trained with the Stormers squad. What are your impressions of him? Obviously, you've seen him train at the Stormers squad. The guys at the Stormers, just from the media reports I've seen, they speak very favorably and very highly of his appetite to want to learn, his humility. And a big jump. It's like the bloke who was the big boy in junior school, dominated everything. He's now just a grade 8 going into high school. But certain players, and we spoke about the Horans and the Littles, we spoke about basically the whole French back line. The John Kerwins picked at 19 years old. Jonah Lomu picked at 19. Frans Steyn picked at 19, effectively. The really good ones, age is not a factor. They get in there and they play, and they don't need to go through 3 under 20 years to show that they're good enough to play club or international rugby. Is it comforting from your perspective that a guy like Rassie Erasmus has that approach into an alignment camp, potentially into a Barbarians game, and then the way he introduced Ethan Hooker so gradually and then put him out on the biggest stage and said, "I could have given you Portugal, I could have given you Georgia, I'm now giving you the All Blacks." And
Yeah.
that's what excites me about
Yeah.
that 49-strong squad when I see it. There's so much that's looking beyond 2031, let alone 27, but so much that's also looking to now. Marcus Miller, your gut impressions of him.
Yeah, look, I think the thing that you mentioned at the top is the most exciting part about it. The fact that he wants to learn and he wants to get better. There's an appetite for growth. I think that's a huge, huge key to translating what he was doing at the schoolboy level to the pros. Yeah, and then Rusty's a guy. I don't think he would have had to call Marcus up to find out whether he could play or not. I think Rusty already knows exactly what he's getting there. I think what he wants to know is who is Marcus Miller. And Rusty's very big on that in terms of attitude, work ethic, mindset, character. Does it mesh? So having him up at the camp, I think, is definitely part of a recce in that department. But I mean, he looks great to me. And I know he's stockier version of him, but he's built a little bit like Timmy Horan. You know, he's quite thick, quite wide, but low. Obviously, a bit more muscular than Timmy was back in the day. And if he can produce anything close to what Tim Horan could do, we've got ourselves a good one. I think probably what he'll have to learn to do is how to dominate beyond just the power game, which he can use at the schoolboy level, but maybe not so much at the pros, just because of the size of the athletes and the guys coming across and cover defense are not doing grade 12 maths. You know, they are road graders come out to absolutely flatten you. So it is a bit of a different ball game, but he's surrounded by great guys. Aside from the box, you've got the likes of Dan du Plessis and Ruan Nel there, two guys that are very experienced, that are versatile, can play both parts of that midfield, and would be feeding him a ton of great information. So I think he's in the right place. Like you said there, I think the key is introducing him at the right time and in the right way. And I think Rusty has shown in the past that he knows obviously what he's doing there. So all signs point up.
So if he was Australian, you would say that Timmy Horan and Michael Hooper would have had something to do with him to produce that kind of specimen. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad,
Yeah,
wouldn't be a bad genetic or a DNA to have. But great to see him there. Again, added motivation to the Lions when they see how few players are there. Once again, a national coach is coming, and as you said, these guys punch above their weight as a collective because individually they don't have those superstars or those players that international coaches or BOC coaches feel are good enough to play Test rugby. Someone like a Henk van Wyk would be thinking, hang on a second, this is a time for me to. Jorenzo Julius made a statement of sorts last weekend, and let me make another statement against an experienced Stormers side. So it is a bit
spot
loaded against the Stormers, Rassie giving the Lions extra motivation.
on. Yeah, no, spot on, mate. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to take the bait. I know where you're going with that, but I 100% agree. I think, and that's what makes the Lions dangerous. That comes back to my original point, is they play with a chip on their shoulder, and it's not one that they fabricated out of Friday night lights. It's legit. These guys get overlooked, they're disrespected, and they come out and they prove just how much value they can add. So they are a very, very dangerous team.
Okay, looking at the result, the kind of game, how do you see it evolving? What is your score? And I know that you will go for a Stormers win, not because you link to the Stormers, but because you genuinely believe the Stormers will win.
That's right, mate. Backing the Stormers all the way, mate. In every single conversation we have on this show, I am definitely backing the Stormers to win. Mate, we need to bounce back now. It's been a tough couple of weeks for us. The boys have been hard at work in some sweltering heat. Fuel for the tight forwards, mate. A couple of those guys lost a few kilos in body fluids during the last couple of weeks. It's been rough, and it's a much more pleasant place to be after a win than it is after a loss, and that goes for everybody in the room and in the building. So yeah, the focus is definitely there, the appetite for the results is there, and I'm backing the Stormers all the way, mate. I'll take it by 1 point. I'll take it by any points, 1 to 50, makes no difference to me. Stormers for the win.
Okay, that's you speaking as a Stormers bloke. Now speaking at Zells on our show to our punters, give me a score.
Lions by 30.
Give me a score line to help the punters go to Africa Picks
Oh,
and
sure,
actually
mate. I don't know.
make their pick.
I'm gonna say Stormers by 5.
Give me
So
a score. Give me a score, mate.
25-20, 25-20.
Okay, so what I was getting to again, I lured you out of that hole. Okay, that's a 45-point total, which is below what these teams traditionally have done. See, I'm trusting history again here. I'm going for, even though it's an early kickoff and it potentially could be very hot, I'm going for a plus 60 in terms of my points total. I think to beat the Lions, the Stormers have to score more than 30 points. And I think they've got the capacity to do it, and I think they will do that. I've got the Stormers to win 38-30, just by more than one score. Unfortunately, there won't be a losing bonus point for the Lions, but they will score four tries. And Stormers to
Mate, let it
win
be true.
38-30. Get to Africa Picks. You'll see my accumulator when it comes to the entire round of the URC. I can only do that late in the week because I haven't seen some of the teams up north, and we know that a lot of their Six Nations players won't play. So Zalzi, he's got a 25-20 to the Stormers. I've got a 38-30 to the Stormers. No disrespect to the Lions. We know they'll be tough at Ellis Park. They always are, but the Stormers are their bogey team. They win 75% of the games that they play against the Lions. The other big one, obviously, is at Loftus. The Bulls entertain the Sharks, the rejuvenated Sharks after their back-to-back double against the Stormers, and then it all came unstuck. One step forward and three back at Ellis Park. All the big box are expected to be back. There's five or six of them at Loftus. We saw last season a young team went to Loftus and did brilliantly, and that young team couldn't do it last week against the Lions. But for the Sharks, they lose this one, they're in serious trouble when it comes to trying to make a top eight.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the table, and I'm not sure that's what the Sharks are doing with both eyes, but if you look at the table, obviously it's crucial. I keep saying this is still a young team under JP Peterson in terms of the time that he's had in the saddle, and they've already got some great results. So I think the focus probably is more on progress and showing signs of moving in the right direction. Obviously, a loss is not helping that cause, but I'm not sure they're holding themselves to the standard that if they don't win the URC this season, it's been a failure. I think they are climbing their way out of a hole and definitely on the ascent and moving in the right direction. And they kind of want to keep on doing that. A win at Loftus would be a huge statement after a double win against the Stormers and would certainly entrench the Sharks on the highway to the playoffs. And you know that's what they'll be going out to achieve. History isn't necessarily on their side that they're not a team that wins often at Loftus. I think they've played six times and the Bulls have won four times in Pretoria. But in this rivalry, the Bulls are 5-6. So they've played 11 times and the Sharks have won six of those matches, four of them at home, two of them at Loftus. They'll be looking to add to that this week. You mentioned the guys that are in their squad, the quality of those players. But the Bulls are also a team that's kind of pulling together and regrouping and becoming dangerous themselves. Put a massive, massive hit on the Lions in their last match. Again, I mentioned that was the last time they played, the end of Jan. It's been almost a month since they were in live action, even though they had a scrimmage last week. So the key will be a fast start for them and then managing that high felt thing so that it actually works in their favor.
If you look at that 49 squad that Rassie Erasmus announced earlier this week, Kai Pratt, the prop from the Sharks, under
You know
20,
it well, mate.
under 20 strong man, Chris Pratt's nephew. He's an actor, he's got to do well. Great to see him also invest. If I look, there's nine props that have been selected. Had some Grizzlies in there, but some good young kids. And just, we saw what he did with Zach Porthen, taking him on tour, getting him two test matches. It didn't mean Zach went straight into the Stormer side and kind of usurps the likes of the Lucid and Titan to being around forever there. It's part of that whole kind of doing your apprentice, paying your school fees kind of thing. What have you made of him? I know you love to talk about front rowers. You follow one and three a lot more closely than you tend to follow 9 and 10. What do you like about this?
We're talking about Zach Porthen. What do I like about Zach Porthen or
No,
Kai
what do
Pratt?
you like about Kai Pratt?
Like, I know nothing about Kai Pratt whatsoever, mate. I have very little eyes on Kai Pratt. Don't know him at all. I know his uncle quite well. He's a very famous actor. But outside of that, I don't know Kai at all. I'm going to be learning along with the rest of everyone else.
Well, so would you say that's a bolter that Rassie picked?
I had to Google it.
Okay, who has more to lose, Zells, at Loftus, the Bulls or the Sharks?
I would say the Bulls are probably the team that wants to, that needs to win at home on the high faults. It's a tricky one to answer, but I'm going to say the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls are higher on the rankings, and they are playing at home. They're playing a team that's travelled up to the high fault. They've had time to prepare for this game. They've gone down and played a scrimmage to prepare for this game. So you would expect, you'd expect it. But I mean, it's close. Both of these teams need to win. Like I mentioned before, the Sharks are definitely sort of recovering from a tough start to the campaign. And the Bulls are finding their feet. Two teams, new coaches, and first season with the team. Both fighting to set a new record. Set sort of it's a clean slate for both of them. As much as the record is Bulls 5 wins, Stormers 6 wins. Bulls 5 wins, Sharks 6 wins. Both of these coaches kind of want to sort of assert what they bring to the table in this rivalry, in this game at Loftus this weekend.
Okay, now coaching a professional rugby team is not for the faint-hearted, as Steve Borthwick will tell you. 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, he was about to win the World Cup. Now people ask whether he should have a job as England coach. Having hammered Wales, they got hammered then by Scotland and got humiliated by England, by Ireland at Allianz Stadium. That 20-point win, the first time in Ireland's history that they've beaten England by more than 20 points. Now we look at the Sharks. JP Peterson comes and he does the double over the Stormers, emotionally charged up, great win in Cape Town, backs it up, a great win in Durban, takes the long-term view. He rests five of the main Springboks. They go to Ellis Park, they take a beating. He says it's one step forward, three steps back. They're going to take another beating at Loftus, and then people are questioning why he's been given the permanent job. That's how fickle it is at the moment. Will he feel that kind of pressure? Or is it performance more than result for him? And for Akers, it's result more than performance.
Yeah, look, that's a great question. I don't have the answer. I think the Sharks, they're coming off a big loss and they want to respond. And I think for the Bulls, they've won three in a row, but they were in a seven-game hole before that. They know what it's like down there and what that feels like. So it's two teams that are desperate and probably have a lot in common in that respect, in that they have Springboks and they've underperformed. And so there is a lot on the line. I think the tiebreaker, I suppose, is the fact that it's at Loftus-Versfeld on the high veld, where the Bulls have a good record against the Sharks. So, but in both camps, I think both teams obviously massively celebrate to win and will be disappointed by a defeat. But I think these teams have got longer term plans in this thing. Obviously, they both want to be in the mix in the playoffs and to be successful this season. But when you change coaches, it's not often that you change coaches in a low point for a team and turn things around and are immediately successful. So, you need to kind of set shorter term objectives where you're trying to string some wins together based on performance milestones. And I think that's where both these teams, they'll want to make sure the scrum fires, the line out works. Those will be the kind of goals. Like, can we measure our performance? Okay, we didn't get the result, but we ticked six of the eight boxes. So we are trending in the right direction. I think that's kind of where they're at now. I think it'd be very premature to say JP Peterson shouldn't be in the job if they don't beat the Bulls. And the same goes for Akers. He lost seven games in a row. People were talking about it. Now they've won three. I think in both camps, it just needs more time.
If you look at the playoffs, top eight, that gives you qualification to the Investec Champions Cup. You just got to be there. If you're a top South African team, you want to be in the Investec Champions Cup. Start there. Whether you finish in the EPTR Challenge Cup, that's another thing. But you want to start in the big club competition next season. And that will be at the back of the Sharks' minds that they can't afford to miss the top eight. They do have home games as well. Like you say, the pressure probably on the home side, the Bulls. They went down to Wellington. They beat Welland 31-24 on Friday night. Played a lot of the players who will be in the mix this Saturday, if not the main ones, the Pollards of the world. But if you look at the game at Loftus and you look at the way they finished at Ellis Park, that's kind of more the Bulls that we expected under Akers, not what we've seen pre that Lions game. They got those two great wins overseas. They fought to beat Power. And we keep on seeing what a good side Power is. Most of their back line is now playing for the French national team. And obviously, any win away from home in the URC, that win in Edinburgh, where they fought right till the end to get it. There seems to be a hardness about the Bulls that wasn't there. And I don't quite know if the Sharks are quite there yet when it comes to that hardened edge. With the big guns coming back, I may be proved wrong. But you've got to favor the Bulls at home to win this one.
I agree, mate. I think those are all great points. 100%. I think that'll be the challenge for the Sharks, is dealing with that Bulls physicality. I think that where the Bulls have struggled is that they've got to mesh that brute force that they have with the likes of Ulrich Lo and Marcel Coutinho and the rest of those big bodies with the sheer raw supersonic speed of the likes of Chezwell Yuerste and Sebastian de Klerk. And so, you can't have Wilco running coast to coast to tidy up the mess, but you also can't kind of chain Sebastian de Klerk and Chezwell Yuerste, those kind of guys, to the tight five and say, we've got to stay close to these blokes. So I think when the Bulls find that balance, and I think they are finding that balance between those two, they are going to be very difficult because they'll be able to bash you up front and then slash you out wide. So that's where the Bulls are at. The Sharks went back to basics in beating the Stormers and got their fundamentals right. And I think something close to that is what makes them most dangerous. And in both cases now, if the teams play fundamentals first, it's going to be a bloodbath because the team's loaded with some serious heavyweights in the trenches. And whoever the victors are there, you're going to see their outside backs on the try scorer sheet, which makes this a thrilling SA derby.
Yeah, and every, we've looked at the 49 strong Springbok squad, but every campaign has a fairy tale story, a romance about it. And Jandre Rudolph must be this African fairy tale story. This for the Bulls. He's not in the 49 strong squad. He's 31 years old. I kind of did a little bit of research on him. He captained Poch in 2016 to the Varsity Cup. He won the Currie Cup with the Cheetah in 2023. He's been at the Pure, been at there, but he did a spell in Ospreys and then 74 matches for the Cheetahs over 5 seasons. Became a bit of a cult figure. In 2020, played 4 games for the Bulls in Super Rugby, had a little spell there, and was about to retire last season. Like I said, come back, have a go with us. 16 turnovers in the competition, 4 more than the next best, and he's just been outstanding.
Mate, he's been absolutely fabulous. He leads the Bulls in tackles and carries. He's been an absolute machine. He was a real problem for us when we played the Bulls. I mean, in terms of like shooting the lights out, that's pretty much the epitome of it because he came from the Cheetahs, and people thought, okay, it'll be a little piece in the puzzle for the Bulls. He's been right at the front, right at the sharp end of what the Bulls are doing, and he's been that guy that really does link those two elements I just spoke about very, very well because he punches above his weight in the collisions. He's a tireless work ethic kind of guy, almost in the Quagga Smith kind of mold. And then also has the skill set to link up with the backs and add value in support play. So he's been a fabulous addition to the Bulls setup and playing his best rugby.
Yeah, life does begin at 31. Akers will hope that life in the URC continues to flourish on Saturday. I've got the Bulls to win a very, very good game, 31-23. I'm going with 8-point differentials, as you see in both my games, 31-23. What kind of scoreline are you giving for the Bulls against the Sharks at Loftus?
Mate, I've got the Bulls to win this one by 7 points. I hadn't put a scoreline to it in my head, but I'm thinking around about 28, 21, something in that region, around about 50 points in this one.
50 under or 50 over? Because that's 49 you're
55.
giving me.
Yeah, so I've given you 49. So let's go under 50. Let's go under 50. Is that the
Right.
breaker there?
Because that's
50,
very
yeah?
important for our punters in Africa picks,
There
okay?
we go.
Under 50 or over 50. Zalzi's going under 50, 29-21, and we didn't speak to each other about this. I've gone just over 50. I've got 31-23. That's 54 points. Go Africa Picks. You'll see my accumulator. Zalzi, good luck. Good luck on Saturday at Ellis Park. I know Storm is your number one team. I also know that you have a soft spot for the Lions. We keep on saying that. I think it's going to be a cracker. If you want to follow all our predictions and go onto our WhatsApp channel, go onto SA Rugby Magazine's Facebook and WhatsApp channels. They'll be there. Go to Africa Picks. And if you want to win 100,000 Rand, stand a chance of winning 100,000 Rand, register your details on SA Rugby Magazine. And you also get the free monthly Digimag put together by Simon Borchardt and his team. It's a cracking read, as always. Andre the Giant. He is on the cover at the moment, Andre Esterhuizen, the greatest hybrid player in world rugby. We hope to see him. We hope to see him. We haven't seen the teams yet. They'll be announced this afternoon, but we hope to see Andre the Giant in the mix, captaining the Sharks at Loftus. I mean, that's worth going to Loftus alone, Zells.
Absolutely, mate. The giant is in rare form, taking long strides, mate. And you'd imagine he would be a big target for the Bulls this week to be taken care of, just to try and stunt that Sharks momentum. But yeah, he's having himself a great season. He's pretty much the Jandre Rudolph of the Sharks, isn't he?
Yeah,
You know,
he's
in the
been
sense
brilliant.
that, yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant. So yeah.
And I mean, he does add a dimension. JP Peterson made Andre the Giant his captain in his 100th match for the Sharks. He's just been outstanding. He's gone to another level ever since he started playing flank and playing the center. As he takes the line kicks as well. I just want to see him knock over a conversion or a penalty and then all and give Wilco the high five and just pack down a tight end as well and just say, listen, yeah, I'm coach, pick me in any position. But it is going to be a thrilling weekend. It's URC weekend. It's a full schedule. And then it breaks for 2 weeks, guys. It's Six Nations for 2 weeks. And then we're back into the URC and then obviously into the Investec Challenge, Champions Cup and the EPCR Challenge Cup. But get excited about this weekend. It's the Stormers at Ellis Park, so there'll be a big crowd. Everyone up there loves the Stormers. They go to watch them. And then a big one at Loftus. And if history is the yardstick, it's going to be a thriller in Pretoria. Zells has the Bulls to win. I have the Bulls to win against the Sharks. And Zells and I, no surprises there. We have the Stormers to win, but only just in Johannesburg.